Hey, you're shopping for a Browns fan during the holiday season. Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop this holiday season. Visit the Team Shop at First Energy Stadium. My man Nathan rocking his hoodie.
It's a nice hoodie. It's the drenched.
Don't wear a hoodie the day after the Browns lose to Bill Belichick, by the way.
I wear a hoodie every Monday because every other day of the week I have to wear my polo shirt to do the CBS show.
The hoodie's working for you. I love hoodies. And visit the Team Shop. You're not shot. I'm shot.
If this was Bill Belichick's hoodie, it would be 10 years old. This is a brand new hoodie that you guys can get right now at shop.clevelandbrowns.com.
Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week. Or, as Nathan just told you, go online. Browns mobile app, shop.clevelandbrowns.com. All right, calls. We've said you can hit us with your thoughts on this reaction Monday. Marks from the pound, 216-578-0850. Let's start with Sean in Medina. Hello, Sean.
Hey, happy Monday, fellas.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Hey, I was pleasantly surprised with Campbell's play. I thought he played well, and I really appreciated the announcers on TV giving him his props. With that being said, with Hoyer and Campbell in the fold, do you think, I always like to talk draft with you guys, so do you think Hundley or somebody like Carr would complement them well?
I like Carr. Hundley I'm not as enamored with right now, and I'm still going to do more thorough study of this. It is early for me to get into some deep, deep discussion about quarterbacks, but I hear you, Sean, and I won't discourage you from tying it in, especially with a current discussion, which is putting the picture of it together. And Jason Campbell did acquit himself quite well. Jason Campbell hopefully can make a statement through these final games, A, of staying healthy, and B, of performing well enough to convince this coaching staff or this personnel staff that he should be in the mix going forward. I'm not 100% sure he's been able to achieve that yet. I think there's still more to come, but I think that's a good positive step. And again, he won't get any younger. His age and his years are things that don't fit what this team's trying to build. Brian Hoyer, much more so. And the healthy Brian Hoyer, I think, is the first guy that you're going to point to in terms of who will complement a young quarterback coming in.
Yeah, I think at least it's shown that somebody doesn't necessarily have to come in and start right away. That this rookie, if they blow you away like Russell Wilson did in Seattle, great. That's phenomenal. You feel very good about that. But it doesn't seem like it's going to be necessary that you have somebody here who can help you out. And I think that that's encouraging. And we've seen all year long when the Browns get competent to good quarterback play, they either win or are in a position where they should win if they can get a stop on the final drive of the game. I mean, the crazy thing about it is they are two stops for the defense in the last two games away from being 6-7, and that's a totally different vibe, a totally different tenor, a totally different feel to everything that's going on here right now. But I do feel, I almost feel today like I would feel coming off of a win, and I know that is and it's not fair, and I know people say, so what? They lost, they find ways to lose, blah, blah, blah.
This isn't the kind of game that should merit that type of discussion. I know, we know that
Jags
conversation.
Game did.
Yeah, that was a giveaway. This really was more of a takeaway. I think it was
than a
giveaway.
And I think they stood up and looked at themselves in the mirror, and I think it shows a lot about the resolve of this team to come off of that giveaway against Jacksonville, go to New England, and come out the way that they did, and to play this team toe-to-toe, and I think be the better team. And Bill Belichick said today, this is a direct quote from Bill Belichick, quote, they outcoached us and outplayed us in every area, end quote.
And that was Chad Henne last week for Jacksonville. This was Tom freaking Brady. When you get beat by that guy under these circumstances, I'm not saying it makes you feel good, but the measure against Haney versus Brady and what was pulled off at the end of a game, that's the one where you sort of say, well, it was Tom Brady. When you give up an 80-yard scoring drive to Chad Henne that beats you, Chad Henne shouldn't beat you. That's what the conclusion is. That type of thing, you know, again, cost the coach his job in Gary Kubiak in Houston. Zaki in Cleveland joins us now. Hello, Zaki.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. How you doing?
What's up?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, man. But they say that the NFL game is a game of inches. So I have to disagree with you. It may not be the reason why the team lost yesterday, but it was definitely part of the reason. Because if it's a game of inches and calls equal yards, it definitely has an outcome on the game. And there were clearly points in that game where the referee's call made a difference in the outcome of that game.
Absolutely.
And regardless whether they recovered the fumble, I mean, first of all, they wouldn't have been as far down the field to even have to recover the onside kick. And there were several other things that just showed you. But overall, I'm really pleasantly, I would say I'm very optimistic about the direction that the team is going. They play hard. They try their best. And in any given Sunday, any team can win a game they were unexpected to win. But at the same time, when the officials have such a direct outcome on, it's hard not to look at that and say, well, wait a minute, something just doesn't make sense. Because the intentional grounding by Brady, that was obvious.
Yes.
They don't call it.
Zaki, all right, while you're talking about this, you also want to factor that the Patriots had a touchdown taken away from them that they should have had from Greg Little's fumble. You know that, too. That was not a good call either.
Yep, that is the case.
Okay, so if we're going to go officiating, we got to talk about the full body of work. We're Browns
still
fans.
Ended up on the short end of the officiating.
We're going to say that because we're Browns people and Browns fans, but those were horrendous calls and such, but that's it still can't just come down to that. It had an impact, but it's not the only thing. And, yes, recover the onside kick. I don't care if they're kicking from the 50. Recover it. Recover it. Don't let it happen. Cover, be in a different scheme of coverage that allows – that avoids or prevents Leon McFadden from being one-on-one. There's a list of – when you take the clear-eyed, balanced view the morning after, there wasn't that much sun up today, but when you're looking in that daylight, it looks a little different to you. It still comes back to that officiating, but if you're all over the top about that, no, you can't be. That isn't what explains that loss, period. It explains a good portion of what they went through, and I use the term in writing about this for ClevelandBrowns.com, extraordinary circumstances when you lose a game that you're leading by 12 points with 2:39 left to play, and the extraordinary circumstances included officiating, but it wasn't limited just to officiating.
And I agree with people who are tired of moral victories. I understand that. People are tired. Doug Pattinson just texted us and said the same thing, and I understand that, but I think if you look at this objectively as a Browns fan, you know this is a more competitive and a better football team than you've had. The record doesn't show that, but it is definitely a better football team and a more competitive team that you've had. Now, the officiating, I think, was egregiously bad. I hope that the league looks into that. I thought that pass interference call, because you know that it's a game-deciding call. When you decide to throw that flag, you're basically saying, I am giving the New England Patriots the victory. That's basically what that referee, that's the thing that you have to think. And I know a penalty is a penalty and a foul is a foul, but to me at that point, that was not clearly not pass interference. I haven't heard one person who's thought it was pass interference. In fact, and I understand.
I don't think the Patriots did.
Absolutely not.
Just for the record.
And I know people get fired up. I'll tell you what, I came home yesterday from New York. My wife was hot. Alyssa was furious.
In a bad way.
She was about the officiating, the way everything that had. She was just not happy with the way, and she's not in a good way, but also in this case in a bad way. I see what you did there. That was good. She was basically like, if I was the mayor of Cleveland, I would launch an investigation into this. The Browns were cheated. She was furious. And I think a lot of people are furious too, because you saw a team come together and literally play the best game that they've played all season, as you said, and to have it taken away from them in such gut-wrenching, excruciating, and almost mind-bogglingly ridiculous fashion hurts. It hurts.
It does. And I know from talking with you and meeting your wife what a passionate fan she is. That is symbolic of exactly the feeling that a lot of people had. And I heard the same thing from my bride in telling me, I just can't believe this. And she's texting it, in real time as it's all unfolding. And I watched about the last 8 minutes of the game from the field. I was behind the end, sort of in the corner behind the end zone where all the carnage took place. The Patriots, they were coming toward that end zone. And I'm standing there and watching this and just lose my – and, of course, surrounded by Patriot fans. And I didn't care because, there were seemingly a million of them rooting for those things to happen. And then they were quiet when good things or whatever the Browns thought, was happening. And by the way, we didn't even bring this one up. 58-yard field goal attempt was actually not that far off.
And it was right down the middle.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting there, and I'm like almost running onto – that would have been a mistake. I was running toward the field and then stopped myself just at the edge of the end zone because I've got to get a look at this. And I said, this is going to go through. This might go through. I didn't have faith in it when he was lining it up. But then –
Oh, because it was right down Broadway. It was right down the middle.
That was yet another thing that just took our hearts and put it through a blender.
How about, by the way, Matt Prater's 64-yard field goal in Mile High Stadium yesterday?
See, that...
That's in Mile High, though. You can't even compare it.
You can't compare it. The air wasn't that light.
He makes that in Mile High Stadium. Billy Cundiff hit that ball as good as he can hit that ball.
Oh, yeah.
He nailed it, sure. And it was right down the middle.
Sure. It's right. Do we want to get to Frank and Akron?
We need the old school goalposts that are on the that are at the front of the end zone.
We do. Can you bring those back, please, Mr. NFL, and fix the official
player safety.
You're at it. Player safety, please. We've got much more coming up. We're going to go inside the locker room with Jameer Howerton sitting down with Chris Obanaya. Next, I'm Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, and he is the Grandmaster Z. Nathan Zagura. I don't know if we settled on that. Megan Rock's going to have to work on the contest result because my goal is to have that resolved by this week.
This week?
Megan.
This will be the week?
All right. Megan's on it.
We'll have it.
More coming up. ESPN 850 WKNR.